All right. I feel like I've done this a lot lately, but I need to give a couple of disclaimers this morning. For those of you who are with us for the first time, or haven't been with us recently, we are going through a series that has been revealing and difficult and awesome and rocky for a lot of us. Not for all of us. All of us aren't engaged, really. All right? But it is tearing back the curtain on some things that we are, some things that we believe, some things that we think, and revealing truths to us that we may or may not want to hear. Okay? So as we have done this, I have been very clear to you that I am speaking often to myself, my wife, my family, my life, as much as I am speaking to you. But I am praying that those of you who are ready to hear, if there is good soil in your heart, if there is openness in your mind, that you are receiving what God wants to speak to you as care and compassion and not as criticism and rebuke. Now, today, we're going to be hitting on one of those things that if you're a visitor to a church, if you don't have anything to do with church, if you don't like church, you do not want to come to church and hear about. You don't. You don't. I am going to preach on something this morning that I personally love to talk to people about, hate to preach from the pulpit about. I hate it. And here is why I hate it. Because you hate it. Because you don't want to hear it. Okay? So let me make a few disclaimers this morning. All right? I am the pastor of the church. As pastor of the church, I am responsible for the building, the people, the children, the teenagers, the adults, the finances, the AC, the lights. I am responsible for those things. It comes with the job. Y'all with me so far? I am responsible for that, okay? So underneath that is a budget to do things like pay a children's pastor, pay for gas so that the kids can go to camp, pay for the lights and the AC to be on so we don't burn up. That's part of the deal. So I will not lie to you. 10% of what I'm going to say today has to do with that. 10. 40% of what I'm going to say today, whether you believe it or not, is this. I care about Chris Corman. I care. I genuinely care about Cameron, Caroline, and this baby. I genuinely care that their lights stay on, that their lives are full of joy, that they have food to eat, even if they are feeding multiple mouths. I care about the Moberlys and about Todd. And because I care about them, I am telling you what you need to hear. 40% of what I'm going to say today is about that. How much does that leave? That leaves 50%. Here's the other 50% that somebody just taught me. Every pastor who's got his head on straight is afraid to talk to a church about money. And the reason they're afraid to talk to the church about money is because people walk away. People ignore. People complain. It's just the truth. But here's what this pastor said when I was listening to a podcast about 3 months ago. He said there are, in the New Testament, anybody think faith is a big thing? If you think faith is a big thing, raise your hand right now. If you think faith is big, good. There are approximately 500 verses in the New Testament about faith. Wow. That's just in the New Testament. How many of you think prayer is a big thing? If you think prayer is a big thing, raise your hand. There are approximately 500 verses on prayer in the New Testament. Anybody want to take a go besides Bobby Russell? At how many verses there are on money and possessions? 2,000. Listen again. 2,000. Now, if Jesus thought it was important, I refuse to be afraid anymore. If I love you, I will not. and I will talk about the things Jesus talked about. Okay? Let's touch on a few verses. Here it is. This is what we're talking about today. Unveiled, the illusion of having money. I'm not talking about tithing today, so don't worry about me trying to get your money. Throw that out the window. That's not what I'm doing today. That'll be in about 3 months. Today, I'm talking to you about the illusion. I'm unveiling the illusion of having money. This morning, I'm going to try to convince you that that's not even possible. That we talk about having money and having things, and that I'm going to try to convince you before we're done here that that's not a possibility. I have some of your attention already. Unveiled the illusion of having money. We're going to talk just about money and possessions today, not about giving to the church, because I want to help you understand that. Here's the last piece of information that you need. We're doing a Super Saturday this Saturday on finance. Unplanned. How good is God? Unplanned. Here's why it was unplanned. When we started those after the marriage retreat in April, I came back and I was like, our church is struggling in three areas, all right? I'm getting excited. That's what happens, all right? Our church is struggling in three areas. We're struggling in our parenting. People are coming to me going, how do I deal with my kids? People are coming to me and going, I'm struggling in my marriage. And people are coming to me and going, I can't pay my bills, okay? So money, marriage, and children we're struggling with. So we're going to take 3 days. I'm going to take my time. Si's going to take her time. Bobby's going to take it. We're going to take 3 days. We're going to pour into you about those things. We're going to invest in you because that's what doing life together is. This is not church. Me teaching you while you show up is not church. Church is us holding hands and going, we're raising a village together. We're eating together, drinking together, playing together, loving together. This is what we're doing together. That's church. Outside these walls. So we're giving of our time, bringing you in and saying, we're going to help you. Here's the deal. You got to show up. You got to stop making excuses. And I'm going to look you in the face and say it. Shut up. Don't make excuses. If you want me to preach a sermon on it, I will. I can pull out a scripture and make you, you know, make you feel really funny. No? Okay, good. Then show up. Okay. Now, here's what happened. We did the marriage one first because we just come off the marriage retreat. We wanted to get the rest of the church there. So we scheduled the marriage one first, all right? The parenting one second because they seemed to go together. Then the finance one third. Well, Bobby couldn't do the finance one third because it needed to be in June. So we moved it back to June in the middle. Or no, at the beginning, all right? No, in the middle. And then I had the one in the beginning, but that was supposed to be last week. Guess what? 2 weeks ago, I wasn't here. If I wasn't going to be in town, I couldn't teach the lesson. So we had to switch again. So there were three switches made to get the finance one to this date. Then on the way to Florida last week, you guys know that a sermon that wasn't in the series got added to the series on entitlement. You know what that did? That pushed the money one to today. You think God's not giggling about that, going, I did that in a Volkswagen. God is good, and he works, and he talks about things. So today, I simply want to talk to you about the illusion of having money, and I want to set the groundwork for how you can have conversations with your God, your spouse, your children, and your friends about money. In the last 6 months, here are some phrases that I've heard. I am $75 short on my bills this month. I hated the fact that I got paid every Friday morning and that money was gone at noon. I'm not sure where we're going to get food for lunch today. We're going to have to back out on the trip because we can't afford it. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills this month. I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but if any of you have ever felt, thought, experienced any of those things, I want you to know something. Jesus saw it coming. Jesus saw it coming. I want you to know something else. You're not alone. You're not alone. Okay? Here are some random, and I mean that, random verses from all of Scripture about finances. Luke. This is in the Gospels while Jesus is alive. Then he said to them, "Watch out!" Exclamation point. All right, if Jesus, you know, says, because this is Jesus speaking, "Watch out!" Exclamation. I think I'm going to listen to what's next. Okay, watch out. Okay, what's coming? Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of the abundance of possessions. Wanting things is not what it's about. We teach our children to get an education. Why? So they can get a job. Why? So they can buy a house. Why? So they can have money. Why? We doing it right? Not going to answer it, just asking a question. Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrow and do not repay. Everybody stop, look right into my eyes, because I want you to hear something. I am not judging or condemning anyone in this room who has borrowed and not paid something back. Anyone in this room who has decided that they needed to declare bankruptcy. Anyone in this room who is in the middle of some kind of debt that they don't know how they're going to give back to. I am not. There is no judgment here. But I want you to hear that Jesus knew. And that he called it. When we want, and when we're greedy, and when we overspend, and when we overgather, we owe. And when we owe and do not repay, the word God uses, not Craig uses, listen to me, God uses, is wicked. Ecclesiastes, from the richest man that ever lived. Solomon was the richest man to have ever lived. Whoever loves money never has enough. You might know that feeling. Let me explain that in today's terms. Have you ever gotten a new job that pay? If you've had a job and then gotten a job and made more money at that job, raise your hand. Raise your hand right now. If you ever had a job, gotten another job that paid more money, raise your hand. Now, if when you made more money, your debt went down, leave your hands up. Good for you. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. There was a time in my life when I made, between my wife and I, somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000 a year. Okay? Moved, bought a home, started a new life in a new city, somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000 a year. Okay? Within 3 years, I was probably bringing in somewhere between $60,000 and $90,000 a year. Okay? 3 years after that, I was bringing in somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000 to $110,000 a year. I had more debt when I had $110,000 than I did when I had $20,000. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. I love the next line. Four words. This, too, is meaningless. Ever heard the phrase, you can't take it with you? Are you listening? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. Romans. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Woo. Hebrews, keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Because God said, I will never leave you. Oh, do you know what God is saying there? Anybody want to hear what God is saying there? He's saying, if you need stuff to make you feel fulfilled, what am I, chopped liver? That's the Tackett Revised Version. That's what he's saying right there. He says, keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. So if you're not content and you have me, am I not enough? And Matthew 6:21, one of the most misquoted scriptures on things in the Bible, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here's the modern translation of that. Run the numbers in your checkbook. List out the things in order from what you spend the most on to what you spend the least on. And these are your priorities in order. Not a Craig thing. a Matthew thing. Let's stay in Matthew and start with this, the illusion of having money. Here's my contention, my first contention. No worries. Here's my first contention, that you never have money. Money has you. Contention one is you don't have money. Money has you. I don't know of anything else out there. Cocaine? Dancing? Lying, stealing, adultery, divorce, having a pet, having a house. I don't know of anything else out there that God says what he's about to say. Has anybody ever watched Aladdin? If you've watched Aladdin, raise your hand. Okay, there are two versions of the golden rule. In the Bible, the golden rule is what? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What does Jafar say the golden rule is? He who has the gold makes the rules. The Bible says, do unto others, you would have. The world says, he who has the gold makes the rules. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. What other sin is out there that will put that name to? The Almighty Dollar. We don't do the almighty house, the almighty puppy, the almighty drug. No, no, no. But we say the almighty dollar. Yes. Inside your hearts, inside the hearts of every man, we know the power of money. And here's what Matthew says. Nothing else is called this word. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or be fully devoted to one and despise the other. Okay, I can live with that. Play it out for me, God. You don't want him to, because here's the next sentence. You cannot serve both God and puppies, spouses, jobs, sin. No. Let's be clear. Jesus refers to money here as one of two things that can be your master. What is under a master? A slave? You a slave? You a slave to your bills? Your mortgage? You a slave to your lifestyle? There's a reason. Reason number two. Most of us don't have money because we don't own our home. What? We don't own our car. What? We don't own our time. You know who owns my house? ~17% of my house is owned by the University of Kentucky Federal Credit Union. Another 21% of my house is owned by the Commonwealth Credit Union. And the rest is owned by Quicken Loans. Who owns your house? Who owns your car? Well, I do. No, you don't. Someone else owns your car and is allowing you to drive it. You know what I bought the other day? I bought two purses. I bought a new outfit. No, you didn't. Citibank did. They just letting you wear it. Contention number two. You don't have. A bank has and allows. And Jesus calls us on that too. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. Before you were even a twinkle, God said, guess what's going to happen? rich rule the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. Folks, we owe. And it controls us. And it controls who we are. Well, Craig, man, is it bad to have money? I mean, is it bad to be rich? Is it bad to be wealthy? I don't know. Scary, maybe. Dangerous, maybe. But godliness with contention is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we should be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap in many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Anybody have any idea how many lottery winners actually stay rich? Less than, my numbers are 11%. And more than 80% end up in some type of bankruptcy. Why? Because those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires, plunge them into ruin and destruction. Jesus called it! For the love of money, oh, another one of the most misquoted verses. Let's look at this. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. We say the love of money is the root of all evil. That's not what it says. That's not what it says. It says the love of money is a root, one of the reasons, that causes, magnifies, amplifies many kinds of evil. If you have money, you can subject yourself to more women, more possessions, more ownership of other people, more pornography, more drugs, more. It allows you access to more sin, which opens sinful man up to more fall. You stop and think about it, it kind of makes sense. Is money bad? Absolutely not. It's just more difficult. Spider-Man called it. With great power comes what? Great responsibility. If I don't have, people ask me all the time, you got anything to say? Nope. Nope. And y'all are like, you say all the time. I say up here. Somebody wants to know something out there. I got to have a real good reason to open my trap, because if I start opening it, people want to know. I don't need the responsibility. No, thank you. There are some things people are like, let's get involved in that. I don't want in on that. I got no desire to be in on that. Because once I'm in on that, I'm in a pool I don't want to be in. Maybe the water's cold. Maybe the water's poison. I don't know. But I don't want in. There are some things about this I want no part of. Well, Craig, you could do so much with money if you had it. Yes, if my heart is right, if I'm prepared. Listen, in the same passage, God blessed the kings of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is mortal, who lives in an unapproachable light, whom no one has seen. To him be honor and might forever. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be ignorant or to put their hope in their wealth, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, rich in their deeds, and be generous and willing to share. It's as simple as this. How many of you have ever asked me to make sure that Amber is singing or that George is singing? If you've even mentioned it to me or asked me to have them sing, would you raise your hand for me? Yes, several of you. If you enjoy hearing Amber sing special music, raise your hand. Yes. Why do we enjoy hearing Amber sing? Because she can sing. She has been gifted with song, okay? If you are gifted with song, what should you do? You should sing. If you, and I've said this before, if you do not like children, okay? Not hate children, just don't like children. Do you need to serve in our kids' ministry? Why not? Because it's not your gift. Okay? If you have the ability to break down the scripture and to help others understand it, does the church need you to do that? Yes. Some people are gifted with voice. Some people are gifted with compassion. Some people, you ready for this, are gifted with money. And yes, it's absolutely that simple. You mean, Craig, if I have a lot of money, it's my job to give a lot of money? I don't know. If you have a lot of love for children, should you be giving a lot of love to kids? If you have a good voice, should you be singing? Then there's your answer. It's that simple. Well, what do you mean, me giving more than everybody else? I don't know. I talk more than everybody else. Would it be fair? Would it be fair and wise as a pastor for me to say, oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. We should all talk the same amount. So we're all splitting up the duties of teaching. Everybody in the room has to talk as much or the same amount as me. Well, y'all think that's dumb, don't you? But that's exactly what some of you want us to do with tithing. And there's some of you who give more. And you know what you want? You want more say. Well, does Amber get more say because she sings more? Do I get more say because I speak more? Does somebody who works 4 Sundays a month in kids ministry get more say because they work more? Think about it. It's as simple as this. If God gave you a voice, sing. Give in song. If God gave you hands to work, then give in labor. And if God gave you money, then give. It's that simple. I make $1 million. Well, then you got to start with 100,000, brother. Why did that draw laughs? I'm not going to talk about tithing. That's another sermon. I'm talking about money. Contention number one was, you don't have money, money has you, slave. Contention number two is, you don't own it anyway. Someone else owns it on your behalf. Here's contention number three. Even if you could own it, you can't. You just lost your gift to communicate, Pastor. No, I didn't. I mean what I said. Even if you could own it, you can't. Can anybody tell me why? The earth is the Lord's. And everything in it. Let me be clear. Having money is an illusion. Doesn't exist because it's not yours. You are what's called a steward of your children. Wait. We were talking about money. No. You need to hear this. You are a steward of... No, they're my children. They are not your children. They are not your children. They are a gift from God that you have been personally called out to be responsible for His children. Same as every dollar you make. A gift from God that you are responsible for divvying as He would. Britt works at O'Charley's. She has a manager at that O'Charley's. His responsibility is making that store successful. But he does not own that store. That store is his, but it is not his. If he does not divvy, order, execute appropriately, what happens to him? The owner takes the store away and gives it to someone who will properly manage his funds. It's not your money. They're not your children. It is not your talent. Why did you use talent? Because to some he gave 5, to some he gave 2, to some he gave 1. And we don't all get the same amount, but we do have the same requirement of God's things. And that is this: do something with them or you will lose them. Period. He gives and takes away. He gives and takes away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. Well, Craig, sometimes I don't feel that way. Here's my response. Your choice. Because if everything you desire comes from what you gain, and I just said you can't gain anything because it's not yours, then guess where your desires are going to end up? That's why God says, find your strength, find your hope, find your joy, find your peace. Find it all in me. And everything else will come from there. For he will supply all of your needs according to his great riches and glory. So what are you worried about? See, I love you enough to say, I don't want you to be worried about anything. And I understand that some of us are already in a place. I get it. I get it. But there is a way out because you serve a God who has everything. And we're building a church who is actually trying to be the hands and feet of God. And if you are giving and serving and loving and trying and honest and open, there is not a time that you have come to me with any need that we as a body have not provided it. If you cannot eat, you may sit at my table. Period. If you have no place to sleep, you may stay on my couch. It folds out. It is not comfortable. You might want to find another couch, but you might stay on mine. You be allowed. That's the kind of church I want to be. I want to be a church that is teaching people to fish, not handing them fish. And I want to create a group of people who are ready to fish, not ready to take handouts. We have responsibilities. I'm calling you to own them. I'm asking you to steward them. And I'm telling you that gaining a fortune is an illusion. Because the Bible says, oh, listen when I say, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I trust in this. The Bible promises that his word will not return void. I trust that this morning I have used his word, and that it has landed, and that you will chew on it, and that you will find your way in it. Your way in it. And that if you need help, if you want to have further conversations, this is Bobby Russell. Raise your hand. This is Stephen Saline. Raise your hand. You know where to find me. And I can tell you that I know what it's like to have to wait for a paycheck to pay the bills. I can also look you in the eye on this Sunday morning and tell you that as of 2 weeks ago to yesterday, outside of my home, I owe no one nothing. Jamie and I paid every debt we have 2 weeks ago. Not bragging. That's not arrogance. That's not to get some kind of rise out of you. That is the same thing as celebrating a baptism. I'm letting you know that I'm free. I'm free to love you with what God has given me. Do you get to take advantage of it? Absolutely not. Is all that I have yours? Test me. I think you will find that it is. I want to lead you. In order to do that, we've got to sacrifice. And we've begun that process together. Okay? All right. Let's pray, then let's sing.